something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara, and on the line we've got a lady called Maxine Linehan. Good morning, Maxine, how are you?
Good morning, Trina. I am well and delighted to be on with you.
Do you know, I wonder today what the accent was going to be like, because you were born in Newry, you moved to Cork when you were 7 or 8, then you moved to New York, and now you're in southern Vermont. So it's kind of a mix now, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's funny because people ask me this all the time. Being born in Newry, my mother was very, very focused on us not having thick northern accents when we were born. And the same when we moved to Cork. She wanted us to speak properly, as you would put it. And, you know, I was in elocution lessons from as soon as I could speak. So we've all of us in my family have this sort of blend of a little bit of everything. And of course, I've lived in America now for 20 years. So I've certainly incorporated a lot of the vernacular and vocab here.
Do you talk about the trash or the bins? What do you say?
I definitely say trash. But one of my friend's favorite party tricks for me is to switch into a very, very, very strong Cork accent and just suddenly start talking like this to them. And it just makes everybody crack up. I've got the ability to turn it on.
Also very handy when you don't want people to understand what you're talking about. You can have an entire conversation in your Cork accent using all the Irish slang that nobody else will understand.
Exactly.
So your story is so interesting. You were very torn in your life, I guess, between two careers. One of them was a very steady career, working in law. The other one was working as a musician. So tell me what happened and how did you come to do a bit of both?
It was one of those things. It's exactly a steady job, right? You just hit the nail on the head. It's when you're growing up, your parents want you to have a steady job. Of course they do. They want you to have an easy life. And, you know, I was in my first professional paid job as an actor when I was 17 at the Cork Opera House in The Sound of Music. And I was bitten by the bug of live performance during that time. And I was 17 and I thought, this is it. This is what I want. But it just wasn't something that was encouraged either by my parents or by even people who were teachers in theater. And it's a tough choice. And I was very strongly encouraged to study something that was a little more secure. And so I did. And it was, you know, it was a chunk of my life. But when I look back now, based on where I am in my life now, it was a small part of it. You know, I went to London. I took the bar exam in London. I went straight in-house with a firm to be their in-house counsel. And that job, you know, you just talk about fate and destiny and how things are supposed to work out. That job moved me to New York. I reached a time in New York where I realized I was about to turn 30. And I realized that this was not why I was on the planet Earth, to be in an office. And I was missing it. And, you know, you talk about a city where the arts are not only legitimate as a career, but everybody moves from all over the world to New York to be in theater and to be in music. And so I was just surrounded by it. And, you know, that combined with a couple of big personal changes in my life, I kind of quit cold turkey and have never looked back.
Oh my God. Because even though, you know, a career in law, that seems so glamorous, especially if you watch TV shows, you know, on Netflix like Suits or Meghan Markle's role, that kind of thing, you think, oh God, imagine working for a law firm. It must be amazing. But there must be boring days too.
Well, and it's also about, you know, what you're doing. And the law is not particularly glamorous in the early days. I remember coming out of, you know, being called to the bar in London and then being, you know, in this position where you're looking for pupillage and you know, they're offering you like £2,000 a year.
Wow.
I'm like, why did we just do all of this? And, you know, yes, you're supposed to play the long game. But, you know, I went into a firm that were paying me four times what my friends were making in a chambers. And so I, you know, I was able to get the glamorous life very quickly. And then also being moved to New York, I definitely lived my Sex and the City years to their fullest.
Are we talking designer shoes,
you know,
and a lovely apartment?
It doesn't matter if it's not fulfilling to you. You know, I had a corporate condo and and, you know, all the shoes I could hope for. But it wasn't, I was going to bed at night not fulfilled. And yeah. I knew that I had to make a change.
It was just stuff at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So making a big decision like that, I mean, it's a tough one to do, particularly when you've no idea whether it's going to work out for you or not. What was the turning point that made you go, okay, I'm not going in, I'm just not doing this anymore, that is it?
It was a combination of things. Both of my parents have passed away, but they were both diagnosed with terminal illnesses within a short period of time. My father had MND for a long time. And for me, it was a combination of turning 30 and looking at my parents and understanding the fragility and the impermanence of life that can be just gone in a second. Mm. And it was just something about those milestones and those emotional experiences that made me say, I can't keep doing this. I have to find a way. What's my life? What's my path? And, you know, 20 years later, I've had the most extraordinary experience in America and life. And my husband's American, my children are American, although they say they're not. They're half Irish, yeah. Half American. but you know, that it is crazy when you think about destiny and making that choice. The other choice, where would I be today? I try not to think about it because I'm really glad. But it was incredibly hard because I had a lot of people in my life not understand, like, why would you give up a career with an apartment and money and security? And why would you stay in New York when your family's back home and your parents are sick? And, you know, it was very, very challenging times in the early days. And, you know, I was waiting tables and bartending like every other actor in New York to make it work. But, you know, I stuck in long enough to make it work.
Because, you know, when you think of people making a move, trying to kind of break into that career, they're 18 or they're 19 or 20 years of age. So I guess when you're a bit of an older artist, because you were 30 when you started doing it, you have to kind of consider that as well. Will they want me?
Yeah. Not only will they want me, but here is somebody trying to, you know, break into the performing arts in the most competitive city. And here I am with my law degree, you know, yeah. Competing against graduates of Juilliard and big music conservatories. And so there was, yeah, there was a huge amount of doubt and a couple of champions in the industry for me and a couple of breaks just gave me enough to keep me going. And it's been I've been very lucky and yeah. Very, very fortunate because it's not easy. And I have two kids now and they're both musicians. They're accomplished already at 7 and 10. And my husband and I talk about it all the time. It's because, you know, it's a tough road to travel. But if it's your passion, denying it is not going to end well.
And you met your husband, of course, in the industry as well. So there's always a plus there. So what is happening now? You've done a Christmas album.
We've just recorded a Christmas album. So normally my year looks like, you know, I have 25 to 30 concerts over the course of a year where I travel to performing arts centers and I do my shows, my solo concerts, or I sing with orchestras. And this year in March, everything across the board got cancelled. All your income is gone. All of your work just you know, lights out. Mm-hmm. And for a long time with really no end in sight. And truthfully, vaccine or no vaccine, the performing arts is not going to be back to itself for a while. We're hoping that maybe by this time next year, I'll be able to tour with the album for a sort of mini holiday tour. But we've written the title track this time of year. Last year, and we didn't release it. And then this year, when everything was shut down, we thought this was the perfect time for us to make an album. We're able to do that because my husband is a music producer and we built a recording studio in Vermont where we live. So we literally recorded it in our backyard during a pandemic. And again, very fortunate to have access to be able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't not do it when you had the facility right there for you as well.
Yeah, yeah. And also the song that we wrote that became the title track of the album just seemed really fitting for this year. You know, the song is about missing the people that you love the most around Christmas time. And the song was inspired by how much I miss my parents and how, you know, we live in Vermont. They make movies about Vermont at Christmas because it's, you know, I'm sitting here looking out the window and I'm not kidding you. I'll have to send you a photo because the snow flurries are coming down and there's evergreens everywhere. It's, you know, it's like a movie and it's just so beautiful. And my children love Christmas so much, but it just reminds me and it tugs at my heart at the joy my parents would get out of this, out of seeing, you know, the next generation. And so that's that bittersweet feeling that we all have when you look at who's not at your Christmas table anymore.
I know, it's very hard. Now that your parents have passed away, Maxine, I assume there's no real pull to come back to Ireland.
I mean, yes and no. You know, I went to school in Crossavon in County Cork and I got married at Temple Breedy in there and we went back last year for our 10-year anniversary. My husband and my children love Ireland as much as I do. In fact, he presses for trips to Ireland more than I do. But you're absolutely right. The day I flew home from my mother's funeral, there was a huge break in my connection to home. And I love to go home. And I have a huge family. You know, my mother was one of 13. My father was one of 9. I have, I don't know, 60-something first cousins at the last count. So, you know, somebody's always getting married or there's always a baby being born. There's always a reason to go home. And I really do love to visit my extended family. But that moment, flying back to New York and realizing, A, that I was an orphan and that in of itself, what that does to your thoughts about life, you know, you're kind of on your own now. It had a big impact on me. But at the same time, I love to go home and my kids love to be connected to their, you know, I do a lot of the same things that my parents did with me. When I go home, I do them with my kids and we go to the beach and eat fish and chips and we go to Fota and, you know, we do a lot of this stuff and it keeps the memory of my childhood alive to pass it on to them.
Well, make sure you do keep visiting and don't lose that connection because it is part of you. Maxine, where can we get details of the album? I assume you have a website.
We do indeed. MaxineLenehan.com. And it's wonderful to be on an interview where someone can say Lenehan. Because it doesn't come naturally to most people. But you can get the album on all music platforms. On iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify. But if you like a physical CD, some people do still have CD players. You can get those on the website. There's also a merch shop on my website with lots of cool little holiday gifts.
Oh, she's an American now. She said holiday, not Christmas.
It purely is. And my husband his family is Jewish. So we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas.
Okay, yeah.
So we've really gotten the habit of using the holiday phrase. But when I'm talking to anybody in Ireland, they're like, okay, we're going to take holiday out and put Christmas in. I'm like, that's absolutely fine. And honestly, when I go into stores here, it's a fine line, but like or shops. When I go into the shop, I still do say, like, I left a shop the other day and I did say Merry Christmas and the lady said it back to me. And I feel like some people are nervous over here about being politically incorrect. But, you know, we'll keep the Christmas spirit alive.
Yeah. Just put on your thick Cork accent as you say it and they won't know what you're saying anyway.
Exactly.
Listen, have a great holiday and hopefully we will see you maybe in Ireland one of these days. Thanks so much, Maxine.
A pleasure, Trina.
See
Merry Christmas to everyone. Take care.
Bye. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.